There's always a struggle in me with this message. Because sometimes I feel like it's almost too harsh. But yet, it's the very thing that's the very reason that you folks are here. It's the very reason that you're here. The reason that this ministry is a ministry is because of what I'm going to teach this morning. And I've only got an hour to give it to you. And I think it'll come across loud and clear. And I know that you're sitting here this morning kind of docile. You're totally open. You've been to confession. You're clean and clear. Your ears are open. Your mind has been healed. And I am convinced this morning you're ready to hear the message. All week you've heard about truth. All week you've heard about magisterial teaching. All week you've heard about the deposit of faith. This week we've heard about the self-evident truths, how we've learned from the very beginning of coming into this world. We've learned how our logic works. We've also learned that in a perfectly wonderful working logic, if the basis, our self-evident truths are lies, then our conclusions are always lies. And it leads to a frustrating life. It leads to a life of anger. It leads to bitterness, hatred, and death. This morning, I want to speak to you and share with you what truth is. How do we operate in truth? When I leave here, how will I know that I am operating in truth? How will I know that I'm operating in magisterial teaching? How will I know that I'm operating in the deposit of faith? How will I know that my attitude has changed? What is it that I can hear or accept that I will know that I know that I know? And to get into this, I got to share your testimony. Folks, I did not go to school to learn this. I didn't. And it's totally beyond me. It is totally beyond me why I have been allowed to do this. It's totally beyond me. Why should I have wisdom in certain areas? I've been accused over the years of being... I've been accused of being fundamentalist. I've been accused of not being balanced. I have. I've been accused that you're not Catholic. I've been accused that you're too much Catholic. I've been accused of everything. And somehow or another, in all of that, this ministry keeps going. It just keeps going. And it's growing. Amen. I've already shared the testimony about the restaurant, how I was impressed that God owns everything. If He owns everything, what am I doing selling it? So I'm no longer allowed to sell. I'm only allowed to give. And I begin to do that. And here's some things that I begin to discover about myself. I discovered I didn't like it at all. I did. I said, God, I don't like this at all. He said, welcome to the club. I said, people are taking advantage of me. He said, now you understand. And you know, that's truth. I've been taking advantage of God all of my life. Thank God I can take advantage of Him. I learned in the restaurant that It was a very painful thing for me to learn that God loves people. I'll never forget the time that a table came in and they sat down and they began to eat. And they ate and they ate and they ate and they ate. And I was running back and forth cooking and serving. And I finally said, God, that's enough of this stuff. No more of this. And I was so angry. As I went over to the table, I grabbed my Bible off the counter because, see, when you're giving away food, you don't need a cash register. And the, where the cash register used to be, my Bible was there, and I went over to the... And on my way to this table, I grabbed the Bible, and when I got to the... As on my way to the table, something inside of me said, don't you hurt one of my children. These are my children. I slammed the Bible down on the table, and I said, I've come to tell you about Jesus. And they all stopped eating. And they were bombed out on drugs, just cockeyed. I said, I've come to tell you people about Jesus. And they said, who is he? Folks, you would be shocked this morning. There's people that don't even know the name. Jesus who? Jesus Lopez or Jesus Estrada? No, Jesus Christ, Son of the Living God, Jesus himself. I spent 30 minutes talking to them, and the transformation that went through those young people over the next 3 or 4 months absolutely blew me away. Blew me away. Now, you see, in this, I thought that I had arrived at the ultimate of God. I begin to enjoy giving away food. I begin to like it. It was comfortable. People begin to rush to my restaurant and say, is there anything I can help you with? Churches begin to raise up here and there, and they would send committees to help work. In 3 months after I took the prices off, I had over 100 volunteers every day to work the restaurant. And I can remember saying, God, oh God, you really know how to run a restaurant. And I was trucking along in this wonderful witness, this atmosphere of giving, 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 giving. It was so wonderful. God began to tell me that I'm going to be preaching all over the world, that I needed to learn to fly, and I rushed out to the airport, and I got me a pilot's license, and I was doing that. I was running around preaching, discovered the documents of Vatican Council II, discovered who I really was introduced to the creed. Oh, thank you, God, for letting me understand my faith. Oh, God, thank you this morning. Thank you today. Thank you tonight. We thank you, God, that you are my Father. You're in charge, God. Oh, hallelujah. See, I had what I thought arrived. And I came back from San Antonio. I had just learned this wonderful document on the laity, discovered that I was an apostle, that I was a priest, that I was a king, that I was a baptized, confirmed evangelist. I was so excited, and I landed the plane at Ferguson Field out here, rushed home, and my wife and I, we just partied and danced for 3 days. We did. We prayed, fasted, and danced. It was one of the most exciting times of my life. I discovered who I was, and I knew what I believed. But the greatest thrill of all has not yet happened. I really didn't know what to preach. I really didn't know how to live. How does an apostle live? What are the rules and regulations for me to live? What is it that God has that will structure my life so that I can know that I'm a true apostle? I knew that it was more than the charisms. And somehow I knew that it involved love, but I didn't understand love. My wife and I, after about 3 days of doing this, we rushed out to the airport. We were going up to Littletown, Alabama to preach, and my airplane was gone. It was missing. It weren't tied down where I'd left it. And I walked into the office at the airport. I said, where's my airplane? Oh, they said it's sitting right out. It was sitting right there. I said, who moved it? Oh, I don't know. And I told my wife, I said, well, they just, you know, some of the line boys moved it. Let's look around. We checked every airplane, all the hangars, my airplane was gone. Now, I want you to listen to what came out of my mouth. Folks, this is critical this morning because I had moved into an area of great joy in giving. But you ain't going to steal from me. I'll give you the shirt off of my back. But if you steal from me, I'll have your hide. In fact, the words that come rolling out of this unique, original, wonderful masterpiece of God, anointed, filled with the Holy Spirit, in love with God, these are the words that rolled out of my mouth. If I find the sucker that stole my plane, he'll never steal from another Christian. Isn't that just like a Christian? I will teach him a lesson he'll never forget. Never, never, ever don't want to mess with God's elect. Y'all ever heard that? No weapon formed can defeat me. And I was already defeated. I was so mad I couldn't stand it. And my first premise truth that I'd learned when I was a kid said, I'll give you anything I got, but don't you steal from me. Y'all ever learn that? God hates a thief. Y'all ever heard that? We still hear it today. God hates a thief. That's a lie. If he does, he hates me. And if he does hate a thief, I'm convinced the first person on this earth that went to heaven was the thief on the cross with Jesus, or to paradise, everywhere that's at. Everywhere God is, it's got to be heaven. I don't know nothing about heaven, so I just know he's with God, because God himself said, this day you will be with me. So everywhere God is heaven, right? A thief being crucified, a real thief. And so in this frustration about an airplane, it's gone. And at the time it was stolen, it was worth about $35,000. And I can within 5 minutes after I discovered it was gone and had made these tremendous verbal things that I was going to do, the phone in the FBO, that's the fixed-based operator, the place that handled my airplane, the phone rang and they invited me to the phone. Mr. Osborne, you're wanted on the phone. And the guy on the phone said, is your plane missing? I said, who is this? Never mind, is your plane missing? I said, it is. Would you like to know who's got it? I said, would I like to know? And he told me. I said, you're kidding. He wouldn't dare steal my plane. Oh, he's got it. He's got it over at that other airport. And you don't believe me, go look. I jumped in a borrowed car. You see, at this point, I had gotten rid of everything in my life but that airplane. Everything else was gone. It was the only thing. I didn't even have a car. Everything was gone. And that's one of the reasons I was so upset at God. I said, God, you know, I went and looked, and the airplane was there. And I took off for the sheriff's department. Folks, I had, for the first time in my life, I had caught somebody to where I knew I could crush them. I got the goods, and that rascal had it chained and locked to a pole. That got me a little bit more. If he hadn't had it chained, I'd have got in it and flew it back to my airport. But it was chained. I couldn't get it. On the way to the airport, because I had been so zealous in desiring to understand what I believed, some reason or another, I began to talk to God like this. God, why would you let him steal my plane? And God would talk right back, because in the creed it says, through him all things were. And he just quickly reminded me of that. I said, oh, you own everything. He says, I do. I knew that was a truth. Folks, I want to tell you this morning, God has been given all authority in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth. It's all his. It's his. And the fullness thereof, whether you like it or not, it's his. Now, somehow or another, I knew that. But I weren't going to let it alone. I said, but God, I work for you. And he said, Charles, I own all the airplanes. I said, but I don't have one. Mine's gone. He said, no, it belongs to me. Now, in this conversation, folks, I was not happy about this at all. Somehow I knew that I couldn't arrest the guy. And in that I said, God, no wonder you have trouble getting people to work for you. I mean, I can't imagine anybody liking this. I can't imagine one person getting excited about somebody stealing from them. I've never seen anybody dance and get Holy Ghost bumps and have a on fire conversion experience with people stealing from them. I just never have seen it. I don't know how I done it, but I turned the car around. I came back to the airport. I walked into the FBO. My wife wouldn't even go with me because my wife has always been a saint. She has. I'm going to tell you, I'll give you a little tip. When I first met her, something in me said that she would make a wonderful mother for our children. I didn't know why. I told her. I said, I don't even know what love is, but you'd make a wonderful mama for our kids. And I'd never met anybody that would make a wonderful mother for the children, because I like children. I don't know why. I've always just, I was raised in a great big family with my cousins and second cousins all living in one house. And we had a great time. And that's one of the reasons I married my wife. It was 20 years later that I discovered what love was. And that's what you're here for this week, is to discover what love is, because love is truth. And it says the truth will set you free. And most of the people that I run in contact with are not free. We're still bound. And I believe with the evangelization that has to go forth into this world, that we're going to have to be free. You're not going to do it tied to things. I announced to the FBO, I don't know what it is, but I can't arrest that man. The owner of the FBO said this, if you don't arrest him, if you don't teach him a lesson, and we all know that he's a thief, he's always been a thief, if you don't stop him, he'll steal again. I said, well, he won't steal mine, because he's already got it. He may steal yours, and I do not feel like I've been made the stewardship over your stuff. The whole airport got upset at me except my wife. My wife's sitting there, and I know she's praying in tongues. She looked up at me and she says, "Praise be to God." I said, "Shut up." And right away, the Holy Spirit begin to talk to me about, what are you doing telling one of my unique original masterpieces, the very apple of my eye, the daughter that I've longed and loved from the very beginning, how dare you tell her to shut up? I said, "Oh God, I'm sorry." Doesn't take the Holy Ghost long to get to you. If you let him. My biggest problem is sometimes I just won't let him. I'm going to do it my way. And every time I get off into that, fear grips my heart. Just grips me because I'm on my own. So we got in the car and we were driving up to Alabama, and I told my wife, I said, "I am finished with God. I am through. Now, I've just been through 3.5 years of glory because I've learned how to give away stuff. But you ain't stealing from me." My wife said, "Well, what you going to do? You've already given up everything. What are you going to do?" I said, "I don't know, but I ain't working for God." She says, "You try to go back to what you just left, you're going to be in a heap of mess." I said, "Well, what am I supposed to do? Where do I go from here?" And every one of you here, if you are following God, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you will run into these bumpers. You'll run into these walls. You'll run it. "God, what do I do now? I didn't know what to do." I'm fixing to give you what to do. And I know that it works because in my family, this thing has worked. I've lived this in my family. I've lived it with my wife. I've lived it with my children, and I've lived it with my grandkids. And all of them, but two, have moved into my house. They're all living there, so I know that it works. I know this thing works. And as we were driving down the highway, I asked my wife, I said, "Sweetheart, maybe you need to read me some scriptures." Now, I want you to remember, 3.5 years, I've not looked at the scriptures at all. They just didn't mean anything to me. Didn't mean a thing. And I asked her, I said, "Would you please read from the Gospel of Luke?" I don't know why I said Luke. I didn't know Matthew from, maybe it's because Luke's easy to remember. I didn't know the four gospel teachers. I said, "Would you just read something to me from Luke?" And she started in the first chapter. Have you ever noticed how you read Scripture and it doesn't really mean anything to you? Do you know what Jesus has said to us? His ways are above our ways, and His thoughts are above our thoughts. And I am totally convinced today, with all that is within me, that there is a specific place that we can go in Scripture and read it and do it, and the revelation of the Word will begin to come forward. The excitement of life will begin to explode. Now, the only reason that I know that is because I'm walking in it, and you're here because of it. Folks, if y'all knows how this place is being run, who's in charge around here? Have you seen anybody in charge whipping? "Okay, can you get in there? Get in. It's good." I mean, have you seen anybody ordering anybody around? You don't have to. When love prevails, you don't have to. And it's the same way in your home. I don't walk around in my home being in charge. I walk around being the head servant. Can I fix your shoes? Can I empty the garbage? Can I make up the bed? Can I do something? Now, there's times that they say, after you get into this, they say, would you make it? I said, I ain't making it up. I'm too tired. Then I repent. You understand? So my wife, she begins to read to me Luke, and it didn't make any sense to me at all. It did not. I mean, she read the first five chapters, got into the sixth chapter, and she could have been reading Shakespeare or whatever. I'm sitting there going, driving my car, going, I'm so mad I could bite a nail. Sorry, sucker stole my plane. And you know, I love that plane, God. I just love to fly it around. And then my wife got over to the sixth chapter of Luke. The 27th verse, and I heard her read this. Didn't mean a thing to me. Did not mean one thing. She said, I say this to you who are listening, and she looked over at me and she said, are you listening? And I gave her a big shock, you know. I said, oh, read it. And it weren't doing anything. It weren't helping me. I was not able to come to a conclusion or a decision about anything because it just didn't hit me. And she said, I say this to you who are listening, love your enemy. I didn't know nothing about that. I don't even know who the... I mean, that doesn't mean a cotton-picking thing to me. Do good to those that hate you. Didn't mean a thing to me. That had never, in fact, I can remember at Mass when we would go through this particular scripture, I can remember a long time ago said, boy, ain't nobody can live that. Y'all remember? There ain't nobody can live that. It says, pray for those that treat you badly. To the man who slaps you on one cheek, present the other cheek. God. To the man who takes your coat, give him your tunic. Give him your shirt. The man that takes your coat, steals your coat, give him your shirt. I said, what a deal. And here's a big one. Give to anyone that asks. Now, the only people that have a problem with this are people that have things to give. A man that ain't got nothing, and Jesus walked around with nothing. Could it be that God is telling us that we're to give our time, our mind, our energies? Give to anyone that asks. If you get to where you don't have no money, that's the only thing you got left is your time. And I'm going to tell you, if you follow Jesus, the things of the world will come, but buddy, you won't store them up. There'll be too many people begging for it. Amen? That's the reason most of us won't get in on this. I've had people tell me, Charlie, the message you preach kills people. I said, I know it does. Crushes them. Just crushes you. Listen to this. Give to any man that asks, and do not ask for your property back from the man that robs you. And I looked at my wife, I said, what was that? It's the first time Scripture ever spoke to me. I'm fresh into this idea. For 3 years that God is absolutely, totally, completely awesome. He is the Father. He is the Almighty. He's the Redeemer. He's the Justifier. I've listened to all the preachers that had anything to say about preaching or anything to say about God. I have never heard one on television. Never, never, ever have I ever heard one on television preach the love message of God. The sacrifice, the commitment, the decision, the salvation message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, I'm convinced if you're safe and secure in Jesus, you can love your enemy. I'm convinced if you're saved, If you're baptized in the Spirit, and folks, these words are Spirit and they are truth. I'm convinced they can rob you and it won't bother you. You see what our problem is? We're always thinking about the other person, but what about the other person? God wants to save you. I've learned that. God wants to save me. Now, I know He loves the thief as much as He loves me, but God will have a way to bring him that I don't know. People, wherever I go, when I get into this, they said, what happened to the thief? I said, I don't know, but I know what happened to me. I can tell you all about what happened to me. When I read this, I said, honey, I said, what are we? I said, what Bible are you reading from? God, it's Catholic. It must have. Get me a King James Version. You know it says the same thing. I've heard one of the most famous radio preachers of our time. I won't mention his name. I have heard him preach that you can't live this today. You're going to have to wait to live it. Can't live it now. You can only live it in the millennial reign. Jesus said 1,000 years is like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years. And I'll tell you, you're in the millennial right now. Salvation is today. It's not tomorrow. Today is the day for salvation. Today is the day that we live the message of God, and today is the day I expect Him to come. I'm not expecting it some other time. I fully expect God to return today. And when He returns, folks, I want to be doing His will. I want to be living His words. These words are above my words. These words are beyond my ways. I was not trained like this. I was not taught like this from my very early childhood. And for the past 17 years almost, I've had to force myself to get into this. Now, I'll tell you what. When these are in your self-evident truth, and your logic works perfectly, you'll always come to the conclusion of God. When a man robs your property, your logic works. Jesus wouldn't put him in jail. Then my conclusion in, pray for him. Hello? You're safe. You know what I've discovered about this? And this will really upset some of you. I've discovered it's easier to let them steal from you than to go after it. You folks, things are not important. And we've made things our God. Money has become our God. And Jesus has warned us, if these things are your God, you'll abuse people. You can't serve two masters. And folks, if you don't know the Sermon on the Mount, you know I did not know this was a Sermon on the Mount. You know I did not know it was the only sermon Jesus preached. It's the only sermon recorded all the rest of the time. He spoke in metaphors and parables where you cannot understand. Love your enemy. You know what I discovered about over the years that I went into preaching this? After my wife told me, she says, well, it looks to me like we're going to have to send him the title and a bill of sale. I thought, oh, God. Now, do you know what, do you all have any idea what suffering is? You have never suffered, folks. When you make a decision to act on the Word of God, your flesh, that lying, rotten, dirty, cheating, conniving, stealing, lustful, greedy flesh, I'm going to tell you, it will suffer. And Jesus tells us, Paul tells us, we have to put it to death. And you can't put it to death any other way than through the Word. These words will kill your flesh. They're truth. John 6:63. The words that I speak to you, they are truth and they are life. These words give you life. Love your enemy. When they rob your property, don't ask for it back. And all I'm telling you to do is to try it. I'm not going to tell you if you don't try it, you're going to hell. I'm not God, and there's many mansions. But I know for the work that has to be done in the world today. If this is not the basis of the way we do it, we're not going to do it. You can't be hung on to things and the things of the world and do the work of God. The work that has to be done. And I'm convinced that's the reason this ministry is being raised up. I did not raise this thing up. I began to preach this message, and it's the only message I've preached, and you're here because of it. Holy Spirit's like a magnet. And I can't imagine, folks, I have never been anywhere like this to be taught. I can't imagine what you have to go through to do this, to come. It's got to be a great sacrifice. And then to come over here and just get the tar beat out of you. You know it says the Holy Spirit is to convict us of our sinfulness. The ways of the world, folks, are not my ways. I want to have God's ways. Now, I'm not telling you, all of you, to run out of here and get rid of everything you got. Some of you better keep some stuff so you can give it to me, because I need stuff. I'll never forget the morning I flew from Houston over here in a little plane, and I landed at 3:00 in the morning, and the taxi cab driver was sitting out waiting patiently for the next customer, and I come just wore out, and I come walking up and got in the taxi, and he started home, and I just fell right into preaching to him. And about halfway out to Warrington, he reared back and looked back. He said, "Well, bless God, if somebody don't drive taxis, you wouldn't have a way to get home." I said, "Brother, you're right. You keep driving taxis and wait up for me every time so when I get here, you can serve me and bring me home." We got to the house. He got out of the car, down on his knees. He said, "I don't want to drive this sucker no more. I want to give my life to God. Would you please pray for me that God would anoint me and give me the power to preach?" I've never seen the guy since. He must be somewhere preaching. I will not take the stuff away from it. It's not my job. If God can't do it, surely I'm not going to do it. But I'm telling you where the peace is. Folks, the people that come through our formation, don't come down here thinking you're going to hang on to stuff because you won't preach. You'll be too concerned about your stuff. You won't be able to preach this if you got a lot of stuff. You can't preach it if you've got this because people will want it. Amen. I'm convinced that's one of the reasons our church isn't very vocal for, because we got a lot of stuff in the church. Hello? We make all kind of excuses to keep it. I don't know whether there's an excuse or not. And you see, I don't know why God's given me this message. I don't even know why you're here listening to it. It must be critical for God to start raising up Catholicly evangelist dummies to do this. You know, something's got to be wrong. Amen. So I sent the man the title and the bill of sale. Now, listen to the things that begin to happen to me. First of all, after I did it, there was an overwhelming peace. Father Carapi made reference to it the other night. I would lay down in the bed and it would feel like I would be totally suspended. My whole body would tingle from the head, from the very top of my head to the bottom of my feet, because something happens when you act on the Word of God. I'm convinced the ministering angels, in your pain and in your suffering when you're going through this thing, that the angels will come and minister to you, and the ministry will be so great you say, "Oh God, let me do this again." Steal something else. Man, I like this. If you've never been ministered to by angels, you have no idea what I'm talking. I know that Father Carapi, in his testimony, when he said that he lay down in his bed and this deep, folks, listen, I've had things happen to me when I lay down in my bed that just blow me away. I don't even know how to explain it. But I know that there's something about these words. because Jesus spoke these words, and I'm convinced these are the words that took him right to the cross. Because when you stop using the justice system to seek justice, and you begin to use the mercy system of God to seek mercy, you give mercy, you're going to get mercy. There's something happens inside. I don't know how to explain it. It's wonderful, and you can be totally thrilled about it. You can stand up and preach with great anointing, with great authority. Listen to this. The relationship with the guy that stole my plane. I won't ever forget the time that we saw him after he stole it and I had given it to him. I was not afraid of him. There was no fear in me towards him. And I said, Pete, hey, buddy, praise God. And he ducked. And my wife, she ran and wrapped herself around him. Oh, Pete, we love you. We weren't afraid of him. I have discovered is that as I operate in this, there is no fear in my heart. And Jesus said, perfect love will cast out all fear. I'm convinced the work that we've got to do in this world, you're not going to do it with fear in your heart. You've got to be bold. You've got to be fearless. And the only way you can be fearless is to have the love of God in your heart. Love is a sacrifice. I'm going to tell you, true, I believe the guy needed to be whacked. But Jesus said, justice is mine. I will get revenge, Charlie. Don't you get revenge. Amen. His ways are above my ways. Then you will struggle to get into his ways. You will force yourself into his ways. These are not easy teachings. And you know the great emphasis we put on the Eucharist? The great emphasis. The body. The blood. And truly, it's true. But if you're not living the Word, it will just become something else that you do. And I promise you, it'll kill you. St. Paul said they're eating and drinking to their own damnation. And folks, we've been eating. I did it for years, and I was a dead man. Love your enemy. You know something else I discovered? I didn't have to go looking for the enemy. The sucker's right here. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 10:36. A man's enemy will be those members of his own household. Oh, no. My greatest enemy, I discovered, was my wife. I locked the door at night to lock the enemy out, and I've just locked him in. Every problem in this room, this right now, is not with Russia, it's not with El Salvador, it's not with Nicaragua, it's not with India, it's in your own family. You are overwhelmed. What do I do with my family? How am I ever going to give this to my family? Love your enemy. This word love is a word agape. It means to suffer without a desire to retaliate. Serve and expect nothing in return. You mamas, when you go home, wash the dishes and sing in tongues and know and count it a great privilege to wait on your family, because in this you know that God has waited on you. God is serving you, and you've got to learn how to serve the way He served. God tells us the only commandment that fulfills the law of the prophets of old, that we love as He has loved. You got to know how He loves you. He loved his enemy. I'm an enemy of God. He loved me totally, completely, unconditionally. Oh, Charlie, I love you. I love you. I love you. He's a mediator sitting before God declaring me not guilty. What a God. Even when I make a mistake, and I know I make mistakes, he says, not guilty. I love you, Charlie. And the only way that I can receive that from God is to share it with you. Give, and it will be given. Share and it'll be shared. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Do not condemn and you won't be condemned. Do not judge and you won't be judged. Folks, it's freedom. Father Karapi just absolutely last night in his talk last night in his testimony, freedom! You're looking at a man that's free. Because I love everybody. Everybody. Some of them, it's a great sacrifice. Most of them, it's a great joy. But if God doesn't put people in my life that requires me to operate my faith, I soon forget what faith is.